Well, good morning. We're going to be talking about loners, not owners, our last sermon on this particular topic. Last week, our youth and Pastor Brandon took it. I have not seen it yet, but I've heard all the reviews, and I know they did a phenomenal job. And maybe you express appreciation. I saw my mom posted that she could have listened to Pastor Brandon for another hour. I don't think she ever said that to me. But anyway, I'm anxious to be able to see that. I know you are always in great hands in our pastoral team. There's some great, great people, and I just appreciate their lives and their work. Just one quick announcement in regard to membership. You should be receiving a letter, kind of looks like this. If you didn't get it, you should let us know, because the Wesleyan Church has changed their positions on membership in some aspects, and we need to hear from you on a yearly basis to keep your membership active. So that is one thing. The other thing is we are starting our 40 days of prayer and fasting that happens this Tuesday. And so some of you may say, but Ash Wednesday was last Wednesday. And what we try to do is we try to do it 40 literal days straight. We don't give you off on the weekends. So that's basically the difference that happens between. So whether you started last Wednesday, you ate your last donut last Tuesday, I don't know. If you join us, you could eat as many donuts as you want tomorrow. And then Tuesday you start. And so we'll be doing that. So we start for 40 days. The whole idea of 40 days of prayer and fasting is to take something out of your life that like you would think about, and it would prompt you to think more often. So taking something out, so giving something up for the 40 days, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, something in regard to your phone or your videos or newspaper or TV or food or whatever it is that you would give up for the 40 days, and then putting something in. So it's just as important that you would put something back into your life. And so we're encouraging you to say, okay, maybe you're going to spend some extra time in God's Word, some extra time in prayer. We actually have these commitment cards that we ask you to fill out. And if there's people that you'd like us to pray for that need to know Christ, you can fill those out. The one with the little people is the one you keep, and the one with the church is the one that we keep. And you can just put it on the altar before you leave today. That'll give us an opportunity to remember that. We have some sources of information that are available to you on a table there and on a table here. These are all free for you. You're welcome to be able to take those. It talks about prayer and fasting and gives you some instruction if you've never fasted before, whether you're going to fast for a day or a meal or something particularly for the 40 days that you're going to be given up. It gives you some good instruction and some guidelines. Some other things that are there. There are nine different biblical fasts that are talked about here also, so you can be able to take that. Something we're going to add to this particular series, the series that we're doing is called Crosswalk, and so we're going to be talking about the cross and different aspects, different passages throughout the next 6 weeks that will all be about that. And so as you leave today, we have a rock to give to each one of you. You can be able to pick this up as you're exiting, and this rock is a reminder, so you can kind of put it in your pocket, so it's a reminder. Put it in at your work or on your desk or someplace where it's going to be very visible for you. It's a prayer reminder of this. And we use, as you see, Psalm 18:2. Rather than call it a stone, we'd like you to call it a rock, because the scripture says, "The Lord is my rock." See, you're catching on really fast. And my fortress and my savior, my God is my. Well, not very many knew at that time. My God is my. Good. Okay. In whom I find protection, he is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. And so this is just a great prayer reminder that you can, but we wanted to kind of create something that's a little fun that you could add into it. And so there's these little cards, they're called Crosswalk, that our guys came up with. And what we would like to do is we'd like you to take a picture, a photo of the cross rock at some point. You can share it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you just have to put the hashtag CrosswalkCWC on it. And what they'll do is they'll give a prize each week for like the picture they select. So, you know, it's just kind of a fun way to keep it in front of other people. It's a great witnessing tool. It's a great way for you to be able to keep it in your own minds as well. And so that'll be just an opportunity for each one. Everybody can get one. There'll be at all four doors as you're exiting. And it's just a great reminder during your 40 days. And so I'm still not sure why that's there. something about your profile pic. Anyway, okay, thank you for getting rid of that. but that's an opportunity for you to be able to think about that, and we'll keep it in front of you each week as we're going through. Just as we're talking this morning, we're talking about loners, not owners, and what that means for each of us. The scripture tells us, the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Let's pray. Father, we're here to hear your voice this morning. Teach us, speak to us, that we might better live for you. In Christ's name, amen. Several things. I don't have time this morning to read to you Matthew 25. In fact, for you that it was harder to get into the parking lot, I apologize. Getting those stones, people are selecting the stone that they want. And it's a little harder. Now we don't have a deadline, and so you can take as long as you want to look at your stone. Or your rock. I'm sorry, I said the wrong thing. So you can be able to pick one up as you're exiting a rock. But the fact is, what we're talking about in this particular, read over that particular parable, Jesus says some pretty important things in this message. He starts out with helping us to understand the owner entrusted his wealth. He put trust in the people he was giving to. We are those people. The owner is God. So it's important that we would understand as we're looking to this. He gave five bags of silver to one. Now, they say this is a denarius. And so the equivalency in this is, it could be like $25,000. It could be upwards. I read others up to $1 million. But the significance is that there's a pretty hefty amount that is being given to each of these servants. And so he gave five to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. Now, the parallel quickly helps us to understand God gave each one of us. You're either a five-bagger, a two-bagger, or a one-bagger. Just the way it is. God has given this to you, and he's entrusting this with you. Now, there's a number of things that we all have to understand and learn in regard. First, the owner gave varying amounts to the three loners. So the three people, he gave a varying amount, like 1.5, 1.2, 1.1. The second is the owner gave it in proportion to what he believed each loner could handle. So you have what God believes you can handle. You have what God believes you can handle. And that's an important message that each one of us have. Because what happens? We compare what we have to what someone else has or doesn't have. And what do? Whenever we compare, we always lose. Because you always compare your worst to their best. You always compare your worst to their best. And what happens? We always feel bitter, angry, resentful, whatever, as a result. Well, far better just to say, Lord, you gave me what you believe I can handle. And I'm going to do my very best with what you gave me. We're not going to look at somebody else's. We're not going to see if they're a five-bagger and I'm only a two-bagger or a one-bagger. We're going to say, Lord, you gave me what you think I can handle, and I'm going to do the best with what I can, what I have. Now, the owner entrusted his money to each, giving the same trust to all three. Now, when we hear, this is a, we always hear, it's the parable of the, hello, is anyone out there? What's this called? The parable of the talents. Thank you. I knew someone was there. Okay, yes, this is called the parable of the talents. And we always think of this when we read this, we think about abilities, don't we? But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about money. And that's exactly what it is. It's money that he's talking about. He's dealing with that. And so we have to understand that this owner entrusted all three with the same trust. Didn't matter how much, but they had this, they all had the same trust. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. Here's what God is saying to each one of us. He is saying, it doesn't matter how much you have. It matters what you do with what you do have. That's it. So each of us is responsible with what you're doing. And this is not about tithing. Tithing is like 10% of what you have that you give return to God and you give back to him because it's his anyway. This is not about that. It's about the 100%. It's about what are you doing with everything that God has given to you. That's what it's about. And so what we have to do is understand exactly that all I have is his because I am the, and he is the, exactly. And so I have to remind myself, holding on, everything I have is God's. So what are you doing with what you have? How are you handling that? And how are you responding? We had a great testimony this past week in Guatemala. If you could see some of the very meager earnings and places where people live, if you've never been before, it's quite staggering. Because you see some of these very dark, dingy hallways and very small rooms where it's 3, 4, 5 people live in a room. And so we had the privilege of doing the eye clinic. And, as they would come in, we basically, it's kind of like you do at Walmart. You can kind of self-diagnose at Walmart, so it's like it's not that rocket science or anything or brain surgery. But now don't make fun of us because we think it's very important, our job. But anyway, Sharon and I and Jill and Jeff Arnold, the four of us, kind of work together in helping to them to be able to discover what their need is for readers. And so we would put glasses on them. And I have to tell you, when you hit it right and they can see to read or to sew or to whatever, the face lights up. It's just amazing. And when they do, they just thank everybody in the room. They go to every person. Thank you so much. Thank you. Gracias, gracias, gracias. And so it's incredible. And so we just have that. Basically, is it clear? Is it blurry? We kind of show them a chart. Este claro, este borroso. So we kind of go through that whole thing. I've said that probably 2,000 times this past week. And but one woman said to Jill, and we work with a translator, especially when we're stuck, and that happens pretty often. The one woman told Jill, she said, we are so blessed with so much here. And obviously, in our context, she's not. But there, it was a matter of mindset, not a matter of what you have. It's a matter of what you think. She said, we are so blessed here. But just think, when we get to heaven, we will have everything. And it's just like, wow, And so what is it? It's a matter of realizing that all I have is his. He's entrusted it to me for a little while. Now, the loaners were responsible for their money. The loaners were responsible for what they had. So after a long time, their master returned from the trip and called them to give an account of what they had, how they had used his money. You know what? Each of us are going to give an account of how you use the 100%, not the 10%. We give that to God. That's what he calls us to. No, I'm talking all of it. How are you dealing with it? How are you responding to it? The loaner with 5 gained 5 more. The loaner with 2, he gained 2 more. But the loner with one just returned one. Now think about it. He did give back what he had. But what did he do with what he had? The fact is, the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Isn't it awesome that God wants to celebrate with us? Like, are you kidding me? Who else would you like to have at your party? I mean, if God's there. I mean, he said, let's celebrate together. Wow, that's how, because they realized all they had was his, and that's what we have to, because I am the, he is the, exactly. And so I've got to keep that in my mind as I move forward. Now, the response of the owner was different for those. For the first two, he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. So God chooses to give more to those who have been responsible with what they have. So both loners who doubled their income received the same response. See, it didn't matter how much they had. It didn't matter how much they were given or they started with. What mattered is what they did with it. And they both received the same response. I mean, one, just because he gave more and had more, he didn't get a better response than the other one. They both got the same. And sometimes we forget, you know, it's based on what you do with what you have and how you respond to it. And so even though their amounts were different, they still got the same response. Now, both loners were rewarded as both had immediately used the money that was available to them. They went out right away and invested. They did something with it immediately. And both of them were rewarded as a result. Now, the loner with the least was condemned for his lack of effort. And so we see that happened for just that one. But for those who do nothing, even what they have, little they have, will be taken away. You know, sometimes I hear people are constantly in financial crisis. They're constantly in financial crisis. They don't seem to be able to have good priorities financially. They don't seem to manage what they have. And so is it any wonder, would God trust you with more when you're not handling what you have the way he's called you to? That's why I really suggest, if you haven't read this, that you would pick the copy of that up at our bookstore. I said we offer it for free because we feel it's an investment in helping you get a handle on your finances and the joy of giving and how God wants to work through that. So we have to continue to remember, God signs my paycheck. God is the one who provides my needs. He's the one who takes care of me. So all I have is his. I am the, he is the, and that's an important message that each of us has to take with us. Now here's the takeaway for all of us as we look at these. I think these are huge for us to be able to realize. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. God loves to bless his children. He loves to bless his children. He wants to. I love to bless my children, and I'm being an earthly father. I want to give good things to my kids. Do you realize how much more our Heavenly Father wants to give to us? He wants to bless his children. He wants to care for them. God is the one who determines what we have. So comparison will only leave you bitter or angry. Trust God to know what you can handle. So here's what we have to say. Lord, you've given me exactly what I need and what I have. So I have to just trust you that I can handle it the way that you've called me to handle it. So I'm going to do that. I'm not compared to anybody else. Okay, maybe I'm a one-bagger, and I'm just going to say, Lord, I don't know why I'm a one-bagger, but you know the reason, and maybe you've only entrusted me with this, so I'm just going to do the best I can with what I have and trust you. If you want to multiply that, I'll trust you for that. God holds us responsible for all he gives us, not just how we use the tithe. So your whole 100%, how are you using it? How are you responding to it? You know, sometimes we get the idea that it's just to make us amass more wealth or buy more things, when God is saying, I want you to bless more people. I've given you the ability to bless many, and I want to use that to bless more and to make that kind of difference. The fact is, did I skip one? No. The fact is that God wants to celebrate our victories with us. I think this is such a wonderful thing. Now, I'll tell you a story of myself. I can't repeat it. It's just impossible to do this. But it was honestly, this is how it happened first service. I wrote my sermon about a week ago before I left on our trip. I couldn't remember what this meant.
Well done, good and faithful.
And that's what they did. And I was like, God, I hear your voice, but it's not very clear. if you could just say it a little clearer, maybe I could get it. It was hysterical. I laughed so hard myself. But now I do know what it means. I did remember. Well done, good and faithful, let's celebrate. It was a rather extended time of laughter, and I apologize, I can't give that to you second service because it was all spontaneous first, but it was a disaster. anyway, that's it. Just think, this is what God wants to say to every one of us. Well done, good and faithful. You know, nothing do I want to hear more. And then for him to say, let's celebrate, I want to celebrate with you. Like God is telling us, let's celebrate together. And why? Because we've been faithful with whatever he's given us and how we have used it. God rewards those who wisely use his resources with more resources. So he gives you more because he wants to celebrate. His trust increases with our faithfulness. Think about that. His trust increases with our faithfulness. So the more you are faithful, the more God can trust you. And so now he wants to trust you even more. What a wonderful blessing. All I have is his. I am the, he is the. And the fact is, what was the loner missing? The one bagger. What was he missing? Well, let's think about this. They said, now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What an incredibly hard judgment that came against him. Why? He failed to have a clear understanding of God and God's expectations, right? He failed. Here's what it says. Master, I knew you were a harsh man. Like, what kind of thing is that to say to somebody who's asking you for accountability? I know you're a really harsh person. No, I mean, wouldn't you say, God, forgive me. I am so sorry. I have not used what you wanted me to do and been faithful. I mean, like, instead, you know what? You know what he's doing? He's justifying himself. He's justifying himself. You can't justify yourself for your lack of using what God has given you in the way he's called you to. No, there's no justification. He focused on what he didn't have rather than on what he had. That's our problem. We can't focus on what I don't have compared to somebody else. I focus on what I have. What has God given you? And how are you using it? He allowed fear to paralyze him. And that's what happens. Fear paralyzes us. And it, like, we don't know what to do. And so he allowed that to happen. Rather than continue to remember, God trusted me. May not be a lot, but he trusts me. I'm going to do the best I can with what I had. He had little appreciation for what he was given. He didn't really even appreciate the little bit that he had. And so rather than saying, wow, thanks God, he lost it. He had no confidence in the owner's trust. So the owner trusted him. He trusted him with a smaller amount, but he trusted him. But see, he didn't respect that. He didn't respect what he'd been given and use it in the same way. He was lazy and unwilling to do the work needed to succeed. There's no room for laziness, folks. What God has given to us, I'm responsible to use it. And I've got to do the best that I can with what is there. We lose what we don't use. That's what happens. We lose what we don't use. Each one of us is called to be responsible with what we have. He lost the owner's trust, the owner's potential for making a difference. He lost his relationship with the owner, all because he wasn't responsible to use it. Now, did he steal from the owner? No. And did he misuse what the owner had given him? No. He didn't use it at all. Did he poorly invest what he was given? No. No, he played it safe and simply did nothing. I'm going to tell you, it's not safe to do nothing with what God has given to you. God has an expectation for every one of us. He's given us and blessed us for a reason. We have a responsibility to be able to find that. He lost sight of the trust that was given him as a loaner from the owner. He just lost sight. Don't lose sight of the fact that God has called each one of us to be loaners. Just remember, all I have is God's. I am the loaner. He is the owner. Let's pray. Father, thank you for entrusting us with your resources. Lord, it's yours. It's not ours. Help us to always use it to bring honor and glory to you. Help us to remember that you are the owner. You've just loaned it to us. And whether we're a one-bagger, a two-bagger, or a five-bagger, doesn't matter. The greatest importance is what are we doing with what we have. So, Father, we entrust it into your care. Help us to never lose sight of that and to use it to bring glory to you. In Christ's name, amen. May God bless you. Remember, 40 days begins Tuesday. If you filled out those cards, you can put them on the altar. We'll pray for those needs for you. Make sure you take a rock with you to remind you to be praying this week.